Okay, we have seen this before. Who's in your sukkah? I looked through it this week and I'm like, well, I think it's good to hear this at least once a year. As I was thinking about things earlier, about Chris's Torah portion, which was really awesome, by the way, and it set up everything for the song and the whole thing. You know, wouldn't it be kind of funny? You know, we have this argument over, you know, Christmas and it being actually a Sukkot. But, you know, he was conceived, Hanukkah, 25th of Kislev, maybe, okay? Which I think that's where they got 25th from. It wasn't from the pagans. I think it was from it being already in the Jewish calendar. And it's December and it's cold and, you know. But wouldn't it be cool? He was conceived then. And born on the Feast of Tabernacles, which means both are right and both celebrations are totally fine. When does life begin? At conception. When did he come into this world? When he was conceived in his mother's womb. So it's totally okay to celebrate his coming in the winter months and also totally okay to celebrate his coming in Feast of Tabernacles. That's kind of like a God thing, you know. He would do something like that and say, you guys have been arguing about this for all this time. You're both right. Or you're both wrong, and this is what it really is. Either way, it's all God. He just wants us to celebrate him. Celebrate his coming. And so many times we get caught up in the minutiae, and we get caught up in the details, and the details are good sometimes, as we're going to look at some details today because they give us more understanding. But details are only good as they give us more understanding of God's plan, of his love for us, of his plan for redemption, and as it draws us closer to him. If details divide, then focusing on them is probably not the best thing to do. And we need to remember that. But if details help us in our celebration to be more focused on the Lord, to love the Lord more, and to love each other more, because those are the things he commands us to do, then those are good details. It's good things. And that's what we should be doing with the details, is not looking for reasons to separate, but reasons to have more fellowship and focus more on the Lord. And there's things that you will know and that that the Lord will put on your heart that I haven't seen, things that I see that maybe you haven't seen. And that's the neat thing about being part of the family of God. The Lord gives us different insights and different leadings of his Spirit. And we don't all have to absolutely get the same thing. He's given us different gifts to edify the body. So as we go into this, that's, you know, part of the idea of the sukkah or Sukkot is about that fellowshipping together. One of the things with the sukkah is it takes away all of the other trimmings that maybe we're used to in our home and in our house, all the other stuff that's there, and it gets down to the basics, what we need. You know, they had shelters. They had temporary dwellings while they were in the desert. But the neat thing about it is they didn't need any more than that because they had the Lord. And I think that's the biggest thing the Lord wants us to remember is we have him. And having him is better than all the other stuff that we accumulate throughout this life. Having him is enough. He's sufficient. Let's go ahead and pray before we look at this today. Father, we just pray that as we look at this celebration of Sukkot, both scriptures from your word and traditions that have been passed down over the ages, Lord, we just ask you'll give us understanding and wisdom by your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So Sukkot 2017, 5778. I think I got that right. I don't know. Heather's not in the room. She's the one that always knows that. But what is a sukkah? What is a sukkah? Well, it's a temporary dwelling, a tent, or a tabernacle. Emphasis on temporary. Okay, a sukkah is temporary dwelling, tent, or tabernacle. God commanded Israel to build them every year once they entered the land. so that they would remember the years that he had provided for them in the wilderness. Leviticus 23, 42 through 43. So technically, this is technical, if you're a Jew and you're not in the land of Israel, you don't have to build a sukkah and you don't have to live in the sukkah. It's only those that are within Israel, that live in Israel, that have to. This mandate is for those who have entered the land. That's, of course, technically. We do it because we understand that there was more than just the physical entering of the land that was meant when God put his feast together. And we are celebrating not just that physical entering, which I hope to do one of these days, but also that spiritual entering into that land that he has given us. And we've already begun to do that. I don't believe entering into the land that God gave Israel is the same as crossing the Jordan into heaven. Some people say that, you know, they talk about crossing the Jordan and that's going to heaven. Well, if that's true, then how come they had to fight after they got into the land? I'm really hoping that once I die, I'm not going to have to be fighting anymore, that I'll be at rest, at peace with the Lord. So do you understand that the analogy doesn't completely transfer over? So I'm going to put this out to you. I believe every one of us, God has given territory for us as believers to take in his name. He's given us land. There's that coming to him. There's that time of the wilderness. Okay, remember Israel, they came to the Lord. There was the lamb that was slain. The blood was put on the doorpost that we celebrate Passover. But after that, there was that time in the wilderness wanderings, that time of learning to trust God. But when it came to a certain point, the Lord said, okay, you have learned to trust me, not perfectly. We never learned to trust him perfectly, but you have learned to trust me. You know now that I am your God. I have revealed myself to you. I have something for you to do. I want you to go in and take that land. And I believe for every one of us as believers, if we're willing to follow the Lord and trust him, the Lord has land for us to take and a rest for us even down here before we get to heaven. A rest from our works, a rest from all the stuff that, you know, and when I mean our works, I'm saying us doing it in our own strength. He wants us to rest from that. And, you know, I can say this, I don't know this for sure, but that process for me really began in Texas, actually, of all places, where I finally came to a place of resting from what I'd been doing before. And I'd been through a lot of wilderness, and I'm not saying I don't feel like it sometimes, but it was after that that God began to really work in our lives and move us into a place of effectiveness, a place that he wanted us, and gave me joy and peace in that process, to where I don't worry like I used to about, am I doing everything right? I'm trusting the Lord. I trust the Lord. When I start to worry, I go, wait a second. No, I trust the Lord. And I realize it's his work in and through me. And that's, I think, part of that entering into that land. Why am I talking about this? Well, because God commanded Israel to build them every year once they entered the land. Now, I think for us as believers, we need to remember where we came from. It's good for us to look back and say, you know, I need to remember when things were not so good, when I was struggling. Now, I'm not saying I'm not struggling now, but when I was struggling a lot more, when I struggled with that, is God going to take care of me or not? And he showed himself faithful. See, that's what happened through the desert, right? They learned they could rely on God. They learned that his promises he would keep. And so because they learned that, then they were ready to go in and take that land. But once they got in there, God says, you need to remember the wilderness. You need to remember the desert. You need to remember how I provided for you, because you're going to get into the land and you're going to start having crops. You're going to start having children. You're going to have the next generation. You're going to start thinking, oh, I'm doing this. You know, I'm creating this. I'm the one that's built this house. I'm the one that's, you know, gathered these crops. I'm the one that has these kids. I'm all of this. And we start to forget that it was God
who gave it to us from the beginning. It is God who sustains us. It is God who continues to provide. And that happens when you get into ministry as well. Sometimes we forget. It's not about us. It's not my gift. It's his gift that he has given me. I don't have the power in and of myself to accomplish anything good for God. He does it in and through me. But there are times that we get prideful and we forget that. And so part of Sukkot is for the children of Israel to remember that. It's not us. It's not our power. We're not the ones that have caused this to happen. God has worked through us to take this land. He has given this land to us. And so therefore, we need to be willing on the first fruits, but also at Sukkot, to bring the best of that harvest and bring it back to the Lord. The best part, because we're remembering he's the one that gave it to us to begin with. So this was a remembrance, first of all. So let's look at Leviticus 23:42-43. It says, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And then look at this next part. "The sukkah is decorated with branches of leafy trees and fruit to thank God for his provision and faithfulness." Leviticus 23:40 says, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." So we're commanded to be rejoicing before the Lord your God. Now we can rejoice if we have trusted in him and we believe that he has provided for us all these things. We had a very, very beautiful looking sukkah at the beginning of the week on Sunday. And Monday, I think it was Monday, maybe it was Tuesday, Tuesday, I believe. About 11, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, the wind decided to take down our sukkah completely, like completely take it to the ground. Actually, it leaned up against the fence a little bit, but it was completely destroyed. So if you go out there later and the sukkah's like, I've seen better, well, you know why. We had to patch that together yesterday. But you know what? In a sense, and I'm not saying it's a spiritual thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was the devil came by and knocked down our sukkah. No, it was the wind. But we do have, the enemy does like to try to take away our joy. And the last thing he wants is for us to recognize that we are temporary dwellings of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes he tries to take that out, tries to take out this temporary dwelling, tries to ruin us, whether it be, right now we have a car thing going on. I do not know, but I need you people praying for our cars, because my two cars went out. Heather's car is in the shop. I'm using my mom's car this morning. Mike's car wouldn't start. So he's got his old truck and my mom's car. That's our transportation right now. So the Lord already has a plan. Kezi got given a car. and I have one coming in July. So the Lord's already kind of out there, he's planned. But we're having a struggle with cars. And see, I'm using that as an example, because in this life, we have things that try to take away our joy. Okay, the enemy comes along, and when we're supposed to be thanking God and being joyful, something happens. Okay, now we can let that get to us, let that get us upset, let it ruin our day or ruin our week or whatever, ruin our festival, or we can say, you know what? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because once again, he's going to give us something even better. If he takes something away, he's got something better for us. That might be heaven, but he still has something better for us. You know, about heaven, it says, "Eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the mind of man, the things God has prepared for those who love him." So that's the best, okay? And I also believe there's going to be a millennial kingdom, a thousand-year reign of Yeshua here on earth, and that's going to be way better than this. And by the way, this is not the millennial kingdom. If it is, I want my money back. I want my tithe back if this is the millennial kingdom. This is ridiculous that, you know, some believe this is the millennial kingdom. I'm like, what? No, Yeshua is not ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. I mean, he rules and reigns everywhere, but he's not ruling and reigning clearly from Jerusalem. All the nations are not coming up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. They should be. Yes, there's people from all the nations that come every year. But that's not the millennial kingdom. Read Ezekiel. Read the temple that's going to be around. Read Revelation in the part, that thousand-year reign, where we rule and reign with him. This is not it. However, he's still in charge, even now. And this is a time of grace, unmerited favor that he has given us. He's poured it upon us. He's saying, anybody who wants to come to me can come to me freely. And the sacrifice has already been paid. This is a wonderful time, in spite of all the horrible stuff going on. Why? Because we are in a time of God's grace that he has given the whole world. He's opened up to the whole world salvation. Sukkot, one of these days, every nation will have to come up to Jerusalem. That happens during the millennial kingdom. Every nation will have to come up and bring sacrifices and offerings. That's what's going to happen. And if they don't, guess what won't happen? Rain. They won't get rain. You know how hard it was in California when we didn't have very much rain? Now, some people would probably like less rain. Little shout out to Houston there. But imagine having no rain, like it was, you know, when, remember Ahab, Israel, for 3 years they had no rain. None at all. I can't imagine how bad the economy would get with no rain. We think everything, we think in this day and age, we have it all set, everything's taken care of. No, all God has to do is take away the rain and we're brought to our knees. Part of Sukkot is praying and thanking God for rain. Praying that God will give us rain in the right season and thanking him for that. And you know what? The nations that aren't thankful during the millennial kingdom will not get rain. That's what it comes down to. It's pretty simple. The festival of Sukkot, as I said, was to last for 7 days, be a joyous time. Moedim lesimcha, okay? Leviticus 23:40, as we just read. Moedim lesimcha, a joyous time before the Lord. Joy because of God's provision and blessing. Let's look at Psalm 13:5-6. It says, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Notice there's several aspects here. I have trusted in your mercy. You know, we don't get to enter into that joy that Sukkot represents, that we see with Sukkot, we don't get to enter into that unless we are trusting him. You don't get to experience his joy unless you're trusting him. Maybe that's the problem sometimes. We walk around and go, well, I don't feel very much joy as a believer. Are you trusting him? Are you just expecting him to just be at your beck and call? God is not at our beck and call. He loves us. He listens to us, but he is accomplishing his will and his plan. He doesn't have to do what we ask him to do. He, out of his mercy, out of his love, he does what we ask him many times and way more. But what we our part in that is to trust him. That's our part from the very beginning. That's how we enter into faith. We trust him. We trust in his promises. We trust in the work of Yeshua. We trust in his blessings. We trust every day when we get up, it should be a matter of trusting God. That's what we should start off with. Lord, I trust you today. You're going to guide me. You're going to lead me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust that you're in charge of it, whatever it is. And as I listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit, you will direct me as to what I need to do today. It's a matter of trusting him. So joy because of God's provision. But I have trusted your mercy. That's part of his provision, his mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Look at Exodus 40, 34 through 35. Joy because the Lord tabernacles with his people. Are we excited that the Holy Spirit dwells within us? Do we even think about it half the time? We should have absolute joy that God lives in his people, that God tabernacles with his people. You know, that's what brought joy to the children of Israel when they saw the cloud over the tabernacle. When Solomon had made the temple in Chronicles, when they were dedicating the temple, it says the cloud of the presence of the Lord came over the temple, and it was so thick that the priests couldn't even minister. They couldn't even do what they were supposed to do. They all had to stop and just worship the Lord. It was so thick with his presence and with his glory. And you know why there was a cloud? Because you and I can't handle his full glory in this form. We will be consumed. And so there was a thick cloud to protect the people that were there from the full glory of the Lord. But do we get excited over his presence? Are we kind of like, you know, that's nice. Why would anybody, you know, if my wife showed up and she was home from a long trip and I go, that's nice. Glad you're back. No big deal. Didn't really miss you. Well, aside from having several bruises next time I showed up. No, I'm just playing. But it would be horrible to treat somebody I love that way. And so, but how many times do we treat the Lord that way? Where we take his presence for granted. Or we don't even acknowledge him when we get up in the morning. We don't even acknowledge him like we should. You know, maybe things become kind of by rote, you know. Or maybe you're not spending time with him at all. The Lord wants us to rejoice in his presence. You know, he doesn't need us. We need him. He doesn't need us, but he loves us. And you know, he's like a father who's excited about these great things that he has planned for his children. And I don't know, there's been a few times. My kids, for the most part, have been pretty good over the years. Kind of, well, they've had their moments, especially that one. Very stubborn. Very stubborn. It's going to be Caleb's problem next week. Caleb's joy. She's spicy, too. That's why she's Kezia. It's cinnamon, you know. But, you know, there have been a few times where I had something really, really cool prepared for my kids. Something really neat that we were going to do. And they kept asking what it was, kept trying to, you know, and I wouldn't tell them. But because there's been only a few times this has happened, because of their behavior, they didn't get that good thing. Or it was delayed. Because they weren't just trusting and waiting for that good thing to happen. We need to be careful that we don't do that with the Lord. He's got such great things planned for each one of us. But sometimes we can jump the gun. Remember, children of Israel did that. In fact, they didn't trust him. They saw the blessing. They saw the huge grapes. And they saw the incredible land. They saw how beautiful it was. They sent the spies in. 10 of them came back and said, there's no way. Look how beautiful it is. Here's some grapes. This is what God has promised us, but you haven't seen the people there. They're way too big. There's way too many of them. We can't do it. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do it. We can do it. If the Lord said we can do it, we can do it. And look at the blessing. But the people listened to the 10 instead of to the 2 that trusted the Lord. And that generation died in the desert. And that's the thing that we need to be careful of, that we are not those who, because we don't trust the Lord, we don't get to enter in to that joy, to that peace, to that land that he has for us. We're not guaranteed that we're going to enter into that land. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about entering into what God has for you and me in our life right here. Not every one of us will do it. The Lord wants us to, but that happens by trust and by faith. I think we're going to see all of Israel one of these days in heaven. The ones who died in the desert. Think about it. Aaron died in the desert. Moses died on Mount Nebo. They're going to be there. I think we're going to see most of them there. Maybe the rebellious ones that fought against God, maybe not. I don't know. But that generation, even the ones that died in the desert, we're going to see them. But they didn't get to experience the joy of going into the land down here and watching God give them everything that he had promised. The next generation got to do that. That's all part of Sukkot. It's part of having that thanksgiving, that joy. Joy because the Lord tabernacles with his people. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I don't know about you, but wouldn't that be awesome if the glory of the Lord so filled Hare Yeshua that we couldn't even continue the service anymore because we were just experiencing the glory of the Lord? I mean, I think none of us would worry about how long we were here. Even Dell wouldn't complain about that one. I love you, Dell. I'm trying to keep this message short today. I really am. But if it wasn't just my hot air up here, but the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord came in and filled this place. And you know, the cool thing is, he wants to. He wants to. He wants us to trust him every day. Not just when we come together, but every day. So let's talk about the water libation. This is another awesome, weird name, but awesome thing that happened. When the temple still existed, water was brought from a nearby well and poured out on the great altar as an offering. Dell wanted me to get a pitcher and pour it all over the floor this morning, but I said, no, we better not do that. No, I'm stretching the truth just a bit there. We did talk about trying to find a pitcher of water that we can pour into a basin, and just so you get the idea of this. But it's really hard for us to even conceive what would go on. During the Feast of Tabernacles, when the temple still existed, the water was brought from a nearby well and poured out on the gate, on the great altar as an offering. Not just one little thing of water, but water until it poured and it ran down through the streets of Jerusalem and all these different directions. There was water poured out. Now, here's the awesome thing. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, and back then it was probably close to the same climate, it's pretty dry. You have a dry season, which we're just coming out of here, and you have a wet season, very much like Northern California, very similar climate. So you are really, think about it, Feast of Tabernacles, the rains have maybe started a little, but they haven't really started yet. You are really trusting God by going and taking all this water, as much water as that would take, and pouring it out. And that was part of the idea. We're gonna do a sacrifice of water before the Lord. A pouring out, recognizing his water, his life that he gives us. And that was the idea, is this pouring out of water, trusting that God was going to bring the rain. He was going to supply. We didn't have to worry. We were going to trust God. It's once again an act of trust. You know, many times we have this idea that we have to accumulate. We have to accumulate wealth. We have to accumulate stuff. I have someone, I won't even say where it happens, but every single week at this particular meeting, a guy comes up and asks me if I'm prepared, and he's got pamphlets to pass out, and he wants me to be prepared. It's like, I don't have the money to be prepared the way this guy wants you to be prepared. I could never be prepared as good as he wants you to be prepared. I just couldn't. I am prepared. I trust the Lord. You know, you could be as prepared. You could have your own bomb shelter with tons and stuff, years and years and years of stuff, and die like that from a heart attack. What good would it do? It does somebody else good, but not you. You can be really, really prepared down here, and it means nothing. The way we are prepared as believers is we're walking in the Spirit. We're trusting the Lord. Am I prepared today? How do I get prepared today? Dying to myself and letting the Holy Spirit work in and through me. I'm not saying don't pay attention to anything else. We need to use our brains. You know, I am classic non-prepared person usually. Just ask my father-in-law, who is always prepared. He was prepared. But you know what? The Lord has provided over the years for him and for me. Sometimes he was my provision because I wasn't prepared. But sometimes I've had to help him too. We've helped each other. You know, that's the Lord. Because as we trust him, we accumulate other people who trust him as well. You ever notice that? Or they accumulate us. People who trust the Lord come together. And that is part of the body, the family of Messiah. We come together. We support each other. So, as an expression of thanksgiving to God for his life-giving water and to request rain for the upcoming year. There's actually a prayer for rain that they would give at this time. Last year, it really, really worked. No, I'm just playing. Last year, there were a whole bunch of people praying for rain, obviously. All the prayer in Houston that there won't be any rain may affect everybody this year. I don't know. Ministry to the nations. When the temple existed, there were 70 sacrifices offered up for the 70 known nations of the world. Israel was considered to be a kingdom of priests. Now, I love this about God. He's like, you know what? I don't want you to just be concerned for yourself and your own sin and your own people. You need to be doing sacrifices. And they would do it during Sukkot for all the nations, because he says, I want my house to be a house of prayer for all nations. This message of freedom and life, as we see especially with Yeshua, Yeshua is the light to all nations. God always had that in his plan. It's not Israel is the best and all the rest of the nations are second best. No. All nations are included in his plan. And anyone who trusts him by faith becomes part of Israel. So actually, all those nations that by faith are trusting him, they get included in the commonwealth of Israel. That's always been God's plan. So he was showing Israel back then. And Israel was considered to, not just the Levites, not just the high priest, not just that tribe, but all of Israel were supposed to be priests for all the rest of the nations, interceding for the rest of the nations. This is significant for us as Messianic believers in that we also are a royal priesthood in Messiah Yeshua. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Peter is saying that about all the nations there. Are we, as believers, are a nation of priests and kings. We are a royal priesthood. We should be interceding constantly for the rest of the world. For Israel, the nation of Israel, but also for the rest of the world. How is Sukkot celebrated today? We're going to see some of it in a minute. We have the Sukkah, which is a booth, a temporary dwelling. You have the Sukkah blessing. It has three sides and open on the fourth, as you'll see in a few minutes. The roof needs to be of branches of leafy trees, and you must be able to see the sky or the stars at night through it. This is all things that the rabbis have come up with over the last 1,000, 2,000 years. But they're good things. They're good things. So the idea of this is you're supposed to be able to see the stars or the sky because you remember this is a temporary dwelling, and God provided protection. Even though there wasn't very much protection out there in the wilderness, God provided protection. He was a protection for the children of Israel. Jews in Israel are commanded to live in the sukkah for 7 days. I have an idea that that's exactly what happened with Yeshua when he was born. Think about it for just a second. He was born, possibly on Sukkot, in a sukkah. 8 days later, he was circumcised. You think they moved out of that shelter for those 7 days? I don't think they did. I think he spent all 7 days in a sukkah. And then the eighth day, he was circumcised, which is traditional. But there's also the eighth day, which is Simchat Torah, a day of new beginnings. Very possible we'll find out one of these days that Yeshua, even his first Sukkot, he kept it perfectly. Like he kept everything perfectly for our salvation. Always. He always kept the law perfectly. Now Sukkot is celebrated. How Sukkot is celebrated today? I'll try to go through this pretty quickly, but it's really cool. The four species represent our bodies. The lulav, which you will see later, it's a date palm spine. It's the main part, the lulav. It represents the spine. The etrog, the fruit of the hadar tree, represents the heart. The hasidim, or the myrtle, represents eyes. The shape of the leaves are like eyes. And the aravot, the willows, the shape is like the lips. Each of these should be offered to the Lord in thanksgiving. The idea is that we're offering this up to the Lord in thanksgiving, and it represents our bodies, which ties in perfectly with what it says in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How Sukkot is celebrated today as well. You have the blessings, the lulav blessings said when taking up the lulav. Hodu. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki le'olam chazdo. It means give thanks. This is done while shaking the lulav in the four different directions. We will see that shortly, actually. Lazman hazeh blessing is thanking the Lord for allowing us to reach this season and for giving us life. We also have what's called the honored guest. When a man sits in the shadow of faith, faith is a pneuma, but when a man sits in the shadow of faith is represented in the sukkah. Sitting in the sukkah is like sitting in the shadow of faith. Think about that for a second. The sukkah represents trust, represents thanksgiving, thanking God for his provision, but also trust. Trust in his continued provision. So, when you sit in the sukkah, it is actually like sitting in the shadow of that trust of faith. You're believing and trusting that the Lord is going to keep his promises. The Shekinah, or the divine presence. Now, this is something the rabbis have come up with. There's some good stuff. Spreads its wings. So the Shekinah, when you're sitting in the presence, when you're sitting in faith, now think of it, whether it be in the sukkah or just us as the temporary dwelling of the Lord. When we walk in faith, what happens? The Shekinah, the divine presence, spreads its wings on him from above. Now this is kind of interesting, kind of weird too. And Abraham and five other righteous ones of God, and David with him, make their abode with him. A man should rejoice each day of the festival with these guests. Now, by faith, though, we are the seed of Abraham. And Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, talks about all of the others that have gone before us. What are they called? A great cloud of witnesses. So in a sense, this is true. We are entering into this fellowship, you could say, of faith. Entering into the shadow of the sukkah. And we have this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before. That they have walked in faith. They have walked in trust. And we can look to them just as we look to the Lord, but we can also look to others who have gone before us. And they've trusted the Lord, and what has God done? He has kept his promises. And so there is this shadow of enuma, or faith, this great cloud of witnesses. Now here are the seven righteous guests that they mention in the Talmud. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moses, Aaron, and David. And I like to add one more, the eighth righteous guest, the one that really matters, and the other ones would say this too, Yeshua. Yeshua. Trust and acceptance of the redeeming work of our Messiah, Yeshua, causes the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in our bodies, which are sukkahs, temporary dwellings of the Holy Spirit. So he dwells with us. The Spirit of Messiah. The Spirit of Messiah. The Spirit of Christ. Those are the same words. Don't freak out that I said Christ in a Messianic congregation. It's not his last name. It's his title. Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. But he dwells in us. He tabernacles with us. That excites me. Right before we say this final scripture verse, I had something really happen. I didn't even tie it in until right now. Joseph, one of the ones mentioned on here. Okay. Well, some of you know Joe Hanner, who sings up front, the guy whose name, okay, he just had surgery on his knee, and so I think it was Tuesday night I went to go see him. It's either Tuesday, it might have been Monday night. I went to go see him. Now it was Tuesday night. I went to go see him, and his wife on the way out had kind of given me directions, and I probably misunderstood her, but I went down the wrong hallway when I got to the surgery wing, and I was looking at the numbers. I'm going, these don't seem to fit, and I got partway down the hallway, and I heard, Sam, Sam, and Mary from the Chinese restaurant, who on Sunday we had had lunch at the Chinese restaurant, and Mary, who owns the Chinese restaurant, who we absolutely love, a really sweet lady, she's back, but she was very upset because her husband was having surgery. It was an emergency surgery that they had to have, and at that time they didn't know what was going on, what was happening. And so Sunday I had pulled Mary aside. She was really busy, but she came aside with me, and we prayed for her husband. Well, so I go down the hallway, and Mary's calling me in. So it was obvious I was supposed to go that way before I went to see Joe. And she says, you know, just want to let you know, my husband, he's come through surgery. It was gallbladder. It's all resolved. He's doing better. They're getting ready to release him. And she was very excited about that. Well, his name just happened to be Joe as well. Just happened to be. So then she says, it's okay, it's going to be a while before the release, so go visit the person that you were going to go see. So I went over to see Joe. Hannah prayed with him. There were some health things that he needed answer to right away. I don't know how that went. I haven't been able to talk to him since. But it went good. He didn't have to get it. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to even mention what it was, but it was an answer to prayer. And so so I prayed with him and then went back over. And like I said, it was only a short time there. And then I went back over to Mary, and they were getting ready to release her husband, also Joe. And I walked with them out to where Mary's car was parked, which was over by the ER. And after I had, you know, helped them and stood with Joe while Mary came around, I started back to where my car was parked. And I'm walking down the hallway, and I run into another guy who's a doctor also named Joe. I won't tell you everything there, but he's one that I've known. You may know him too. He attended here for a little bit. I just told him it was good to see him, that we missed him, and we had a good conversation. It was short, but we had a good conversation. And I go walking back to the car, and I'm going, Lord, you know what I can handle, don't you? I can only handle one name at a time. It was the night for Joe. I got three Joes and a Mary. You can handle that one, right? Yeah, I know. Exactly. On the week of Sukkot, okay. Joseph's one of the names in there. Isn't that cool? Think about that for a second. He's one of the important guests, and who was in the sukkah with Yeshua when he was born? Joseph. Yeah, this gets better and better, doesn't it? But God knew I can only handle one name, and Heather got a real kick out of that one because she knows how my mind works. But God has such a sense of humor, too. He really does. But he set the whole thing up. Have you ever had that happen where God just sets everything up for you, and when you get done, you realize that was God? It takes usually after it gets done, I'm like, well, who could have put that one together? Yeah, we know who. We get to experience that and more. Every day can be an adventure like that with the Lord. Every day. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this. Oh, we're behind, aren't we? Or no, it's just not working. I'll just read it to you. Or do you not know that your body is the sukkah, temporary dwelling, the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's what you and I are called to do. To thank him, to glorify him, to worship him, and recognize that this body, this temporary dwelling, indwells the spirit of Yeshua. It lives in us. That's what he wants. It's not a big thing. It's not a big sacrifice. Well, it is kind of, because we're giving our whole life. But it's not big in the sense that it's not that hard to glorify him, to thank him, to worship him. He's done everything else. He's done all the other work. All he wants from us is to trust him. Yes, to obey him, but not in our own strength. And to glorify him by our lives. Who's in your sukkah? As we finish up Sukkot, let's be thinking about that the rest of this time, the rest of this week. Even as we go and we celebrate it, about questioning and asking, who is in my sukkah? Am I letting the Holy Spirit dwell? Is it a place that he is comfortable in? Because that's the other thing. I wouldn't be very comfortable in that sukkah out there. I'm just saying. It's beautiful, but after the fall, interesting, after the fall. After the fall, our sukkahs, our temporary dwellings, weren't very comfortable for the Lord, were they? But he has made them a place of beauty once again. He's made us righteous. And so they are righteous and they are holy because of him, because of the work he has done. We're not just talking our physical bodies, we're talking our spirits as well. We're made righteous before the Lord. That's why he enjoys dwelling in these temporary dwellings. That's just really cool. So let's thank the Lord this morning. Let's worship him. Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you that you love us so much, that you chose to not just indwell us with your spirit. Well, you actually came down and became one of these temporary dwellings, experienced what we were going through, the winds of this life, the struggles, the trials. Lord, you understand what we go through. And yet, Lord, you accomplished everything. You were a temporary dwelling that did everything your Father asked you to do. You accomplished our salvation. You made it to where we can also be temporary dwellings that have your Spirit dwelling within us. We are so grateful to you. Lord, we have so much to look forward to. When we are absent from this body, this temporary dwelling, it says we will be present with the Lord. And Lord, one of these days we'll have new glorified bodies. They won't be temporary anymore. They will be like you. It says, when we see you, we shall be like you. When we see you, we shall be changed. We shall be like you because we will see you as you are. Paraphrasing, but Lord, we're thankful. We're so thankful that we have so much hope, so much to look forward to. I pray that we will share this joy with others, others that need to be set free, others that are currently not in that shadow of faith. They are not trusting you. Maybe they have never heard the good news. They have never heard the gospel. Or if they have, they have heard it in a way that is not glorifying, in a way that doesn't point them to you. Lord, I pray we will be those lights that you have called us to be. We will be those priests and kings interceding, Lord, for the rest of the nations. Lord, praying that people's hearts and minds are open to your truth and open to your light. Lord, so that your kingdom spreads throughout this world. Your kingdom spreads in the hearts and minds of people. And Lord, as that happens, it changes lives, it changes communities, it changes families, it changes churches, it changes the world, Lord. So we thank you that we are a part of your family. And we pray today that you will bless this time of fellowship as we do the blessings over the sukkah, as we spend time fellowshipping and eating together. Lord, that we will take joy just as you take joy. You take joy in us, that we will take joy in you and in the fellowship with each other today. We pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and go out to the sukkah. We'll do these blessings and then we'll go out to the sukkah. That'll just make it easier. That way we don't have to do anything else. Blessing over the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Blessing over the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha, Vehunecha Isa Adonai Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. If we can go out to the sukkah, and Mike's opening the doors there, just walk on out, and you will see the sukkah. And we're going to do the blessings out there.